Except for Storm. Storm is our perpetually drunk griffin.
Yeah, and you need to drink 3 beers from now on, like one for you, one for me,
drink for both
and one
of us.
For Core.
I got a drink for the entire fucking crew. This is great. I'm gonna be shit-faced before the first 5 minutes of the show are done.
Hell yeah, you will, buddy.
Oh, especially when I'm such a fucking cheap date.
And then you have like 20 minutes for each beer.
What? Like, do you know how long it takes me to get through one beer?
It should not take you 10 minutes. It should take you less than that.
It takes like a half hour typically.
That's... I'm not gonna lie, that makes me sad.
My beer is empty within about 20 minutes at least.
I don't.
I mean,
chug.
The most.
I like to enjoy the flavor of the beer, so I take small sips. I mean, that's what I always have done. I don't typically chug.
That's why
it's,
I have
it's not
three
about
bottles.
Chugging.
That's why I have 3 bottles of beer to enjoy it faster, but still long. But I actually have a drink. It's called it's not called it's a Rockstar Pure Zero Energy Silver Ice. That's a zero sugar energy drink that
what the hell
gives you my heart was like
I had like a Monster Hydra the other day.
How was it?
Okay.
It was like citrus water.
Okay. Well, I kind of love the rehab from Monster. That's a really good drink against hangovers, in my opinion.
Which one is?
Rehab.
Monster Rehab? Oh.
Uh-huh.
It allows you to rehabilitate from when you drink too much Monster. Great.
Yeah, it's practically an isotonic iced tea with, isotonic stuff in it and caffeine.
Isotonic stuff.
Yeah, salt, for example, and other minerals. And it's really good against hangover. Oh my god. It's like it kills your hangover.
We should email Monster and say they should use that as their tagline. It kills your hangover. Their sales would go up by 400%.
They actually say it on the can. Practically.
Oh, gee. Well, today I am drinking Big Citrus. You can find Big Citrus.
Is that like the corporate version of like Big Tobacco, Big Data, and like, you know, Big Government? Just Big Citrus? Are you a fucking corporate sellout on this show to Big Citrus?
This shit
is. Are you
amazing.
That obsessed with limes?
It's fucking fuck you. This shit is amazing. It is.
Are you moving to Florida anytime soon?
No, I don't want my nest to get blown away. This stuff is.
Oh, so you're going to go to the regional headquarters in California. Got it. Okay.
Exactly. This shit is Mambo Punch. It is.
Bird Life, brought to you by Big Oranges.
100% made in Mexico. And. You get some of this shit, you do my usual and throw some vodka in there, and oh my god, you've got a good time in a bottle.
Yeah, that is one thing that you can actually put vodka in, and it won't taste like horrible gasoline.
It's so good. I don't care if you're feeling sick, you're feeling down, you're tired. But, you take some Big Citrus, man, and you just want to take on the world.
But, you know, all corporate sellout aside... If you take a little bit of tequila and some grenadine, then you'd have a tequila sunrise.
But you need orange juice too.
Yeah. Which is that not what this is?
No, this is not orange juice.
Oh, it's also like a sparkling orange drink.
It's oranges and mangoes.
Okay, well, I'm going to write a letter to the editor or whatever they have for Big Citrus. I don't think it's an editor. That's like a newspaper.
They should have called it Big Mango then, because the mango is the main star, in my opinion.
The mango, it's like, this. I can't believe you've never heard of it. This is amazing.
I'll be sure to keep my eyes out for it.
I'm probably in the wrong continent.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Cor? What are you drinking?
I'm not drinking anything because before the show, I was going to get up and grab something to drink, but we ended up just talking instead. So I'm going to be thirsty this show.
Ooh. I wonder if that's going to be
with more than one definition. If you know
oh, my goodness. Oh, my. Such a naughty, naughty raven you are. So, guys, some big excitement this past week within Birdania. Yes. As you should know, and I'm sure our listeners are intimately aware, I ran a poll on the official Bird.life Twitter feed. The poll was, why does Feathered Fleeks have such a wonderful accent? I have the results of that poll.
I think it's because he's German. I'm just going to put this out there just as a potential candidate for, you know, the actual reason he's got a sexy accent. Yeah, it's because he's German.
But.
But no, go on. Continue. By all means.
There was four choices to this poll. Number one was he is German. Number two, for choices, is chirp to jerk translator. Number three, because Core alters it. And number four was, can you feel the love tonight? So, since Core decided to announce what the number one choice would be, Core, yes, you're right. Number one answer was, he is German. But my challenge to you two,
because boneheads, common sense.
My challenge to because you two,
genetics.
I actually voted for Core altered it.
Because regional upbringing.
So, okay, since you got what the number one was, can you guys guess what the number two most popular choice was?
D.
D, can you feel the love tonight?
Yes, because I know the type of people who follow your Twitter.
Also, I saw the poll, so I can't. It's not even a challenge for me.
I did, for the record, I did just guess.
Incorrect.
Oh?
Yeah, I did not say it was right.
Oh, okay.
The number two, second most popular answer for the official Why Does Feathered Fleeks Have Such a Wonderful Accent poll was chirp to German translator at 29% of the vote.
But then how is he speaking English right now?
Yeah, that should translate my voice to Deutsch.
Because Core has some very sophisticated software. That's all we're going to say.
Also, I would kind of sound like a robot. Because, you know, a translator. And they are not always right, so I would say talk a lot of Kauderwelsch, like we say in German.
I see.
Okay. I see. So there was another contest, probably a bigger, more important contest, besides Fleeks' German accent poll here. We did run a contest for the listeners of Bird Life. Storm, would you like to talk about that?
I would love to, Core. Thank you very much. We ran a contest back in July as to who could sing the Birdanian national anthem the best among our listeners. We received many entries and narrowed it down to the top four best entries.
We received four, and we're going to do the four.
And my co-host and I have spent many hours analyzing every aspect of each one of these entries for skill, for pride, and for determination.
No, he's telling the truth about that. I countless hours, sleepless nights. It was horrific. It's totally true.
Yeah, like 15 minutes.
And we have each agreed to take a pledge of silence up to this very episode for sharing our thoughts with one another as to who the victor is. So right now, live on this pre-recorded show, you're about to find the answer.
I have to admit that I can't choose because all of them were awesome, actually.
Lies and slander. You can totally choose. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to play a little clip of each one, just the first chorus of the national anthem, and then we're going to critique you. Are you ready? Okay, no, don't start that shit because it's ready now. All right.
You brought that upon us.
First to the stage, we have Eclipse Griffin with his rendition of the Bredanian National Anthem. Here we go.
Home of the winged, the feathered, and forever free. Flying dawn until the dark with courage. Back to thee, Bredania, Bredania. All glory to Bredania. Bredania, Bredania, forever free, Bredania.
All right, what do you think of that so far?
I like it.
I like it.
He's very prideful. A lot of energy in that. Bredania.
He's speaking from the heart, the passion and pride. You can tell it's really just emanating from his beak, like he's thumping his chest to the world, proud to be Bredania.
I would actually say there's quite a bit of griffin pride in there as well, wouldn't you?
That's how I imagine griffin sound, like that deep voice, very out of the chest, you know what I mean? It's really good. It's really good.
I completely concur.
All right, in that case, we'll move on to our next guest. He was actually on the show last week. Please welcome to the stage Regday with his rendition of the Bredanian National Anthem.
Home of the winged, the feathered, and forever free. Flying dawn into the dark, courage back to thee. Bredania, Bredania, all glory to Bredania. Bredania, Bredania, forever free, Bredania.
I'm not going to lie, I'm impressed with how he actually managed to split himself into two for parts of that song.
He's a bird. Birds can do that. They can do two voices at the same time.
this is a fact. I'm sorry, I forgot.
There's no doubt that editing-wise and whatnot, he went the extra mile to make himself sound basically studio quality, and just the vocal range and happiness that comes from his voice as he's singing really makes this one stand out, in my opinion.
I gotta agree. Yeah. He did put a lot of work into it, and I mean, as we learned from last episode, he does have quite a dynamic voice, so...
And it's not a secret that he can sing.
It's the best kept secret in Bredania.
So the order of the feathering is not? Oh, shit. God damn it.
Oh, come on. We're a lost cause. Let's just move on.
All right. Third to the deck, we have Soul Ember with his rendition.
Of the winged, the feathered, and forever free, flying dawn unto the dark with courage, back to thee, Bredania, Bredania, a glory to Bredania, 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 forever free, Bredania.
When I heard this particular rendition, I imagine a bunch of birds in a pub and everyone just, you know, chumping their chest and singing with pride as they pass around some beers and just... are very proud of a particular moment, country, district.
Much like Eclipse, there was a lot of pride and boastfulness into it, and I really love the vibrato.
Yeah, pretty neat.
Thank you, Simon Cowell.
The vibrato. But yeah.
What the heck?
Very down, it's very down to earth. It really is, and I like that.
I do too. All right, so our fourth contestant didn't give us a name. He just submitted it and then flew away really quickly, and I'm pretty sure he was wearing a hood. Did not get a face. Nonetheless, we will give it a listen and see how it goes.
Home of the winged, the feathered, and forever free. Flying dawn until the dark with courage. Back to the Bredania, Bredania.
What the fuck is this?
Bredania, Bredania, forever free, Bredania!
What the hell is this, Goofy?
Bredania!
I'm not certain. But I think he's from the far south.
What was them Disney characters get laid off, so they decided to send someone aside to raise a few bucks? What the fuck is that?
love it. I have to admit, I love it.
So before we announce the winner, I do want to mention this whole album will be available for download in the show notes below. Enjoy. Because, yeah, this was just a clip of the full songs themselves, and they're pretty freaking awesome, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, yeah, they are, certainly. And I will send I will send a Burdania button to all the contestants who participated, because that's really, you really did great.
We really and appreciate it, fun to listen. The input, yeah.
Only if you're, if you want to give me your address, of course.
You know, strangers on the internet and whatnot. All right, that said, let's talk about who our favorites were. Fleek, start us off.
Also, I really loved pretty much, I liked all of them. But my two favorites, so to narrow it to two entries, the Mystery Burdania was, as I said, the last one we played was one of my favorites, and Recte, of course, because Recte, the quality, everything, and I mean, it's almost cheating Recte, but I think you tell me you were the best one of them. So my vote goes definitely to Recte. I think that's a fair decision from my side.
Okay, fair enough. I was really a big fan of Eclipses. Again, he had like a really, I really appreciate where like you could kind of feel him like hunker down and like, you know, just preach the song at certain points, and I loved that. Other than that, I think Reg Day would get my second place vote as well. I am possibly throwing in a few handicap points there. Storm?
Well, if we're picking strictly on comedic value, well, there's only one that would win the comedy award, and that would clearly be the Mystery one, because my God, that shit's hilarious. But for the best overall attempt at singing our wonderful national anthem, in my opinion, it has to come down to Eclipse. While Reg Day absolutely gets second place because he has a beautiful voice and put forth great effort, Eclipse's voice to me really comes from the heart, and he really just sings it with pride, and you can hear the emotion come through, and that really does it.
However, just so we're all on the same level here, Soul Ember, he did include another version, which is the version we actually play at noon every day over the Burdanian loudspeaker system. Just so we'll be including that version in the track as well. Enjoy.
Oh, that was pretty good. That really was. We have some very wonderful fans of the show. We do.
And we seriously appreciate it. Like, it's amazing. Okay, so now that we are roughly 20 minutes into the show, shall we actually get the episode started?
I'm ready.
No?
You ready?
Okay. Well, thanks, no, guys. No. It's been good. Have a good night. It's been fun. I'll remember always be beeping.
So, Fleeks, what's our topic this week?
First of all, we need to tell our listeners what show this is, what they are listening to. If they are landed here, like on
somebody muzzle the
I don't know, an accident. So just imagine you have your like a podcast feature on iTunes on random, and they suddenly hear listen to this show. They can't look at the display. They want to know what show we are. So core.
So can this you do is this clearly. With- This is clearly Sunday's Tea with Three Birds.
Exactly, yes. Sunday's Tea with Three Birds. This is episode 41 of Bird Life. I'm Core.
I'm Flea.
And
I'm Fleeks.
And I'm Big Citrus.
We'll be right back. his name too. Yes, that's Storm Griffin.
Let's say he's Storm Citrus from now on. Storm he's Citrus, an Enter okay. Citrus.
Citrus Griffin.
Citrus Griffin, yeah. I will color him yellow.
Part of a complete and balanced diet.
I will color him yellow and put like advertisement for citrus, big citrus on him.
Give him a squeeze, put him in your morning drink.
Ooh. Yeah. give Storm a squeeze. That's a good thing.
give him a little key taste just like raisins.
No, not that kind of squeeze core. Your mind is no, I don't even want to talk about it. So today we do something different. Today Storm will announce the topic because he actually came up with the topic. So Storm, do it.
Today we are talking about avian migration, aka traveling. The places we've gone, what we've seen, and the experiences along the way.
Nice.
Yeah, to start into the topic, in how much different countries have you been, or in what countries have you been so far, without telling the details, but just make a list, I think.
Okay, I've been to 3 different countries myself, unless you count I don't really understand how the Caribbean works. If they're like their own nation, or if like they're partially owned by other nations, or if they're just kind of their own free floating thing. So not counting the Caribbean, I've been to 3 different countries, Mexico, Canada, and I live in the US. So ta-da.
I personally, the listener can count for me. So now you can test your counting skills, or my co-host can count. I was in England, Egypt, Czechia? Let's call it Czechia.
Czechoslovakia?
No, I did not want to call it that. It's the Czechian Republic. The Czech Republic, thank you. And I was to Sweden, to Denmark. I was in Luxembourg already. And in Poland, I was. And I think that was about it.
The German visited Poland, and it wasn't a tragedy?
No, we were there at a vacation hat of a friend.
Oh, okay.
At a town, no, I can't even pronounce. it sounds like Mykorica, but that's not Muslim or something. I really don't know how to pronounce it. I always forget it.
Fair enough. Storm, where have you been to?
Well, let's see. I've been to, aside from the United States of America and all over it, I might add, I've been to the 51st state of Canada. I've been to the United Kingdom, specifically the Birmingham area. I've been to New Zealand, and I have been to Australia.
Nice. Oh, we got some pretty well-traveled birds up in here.
I actually forgot Ireland. I worked in Ireland for 3 weeks, for 4 weeks almost, and I shouldn't forget that, I guess.
I'm sure they had some very good beer.
Fair enough.
I
also
only
like to get one
cider.
Thing just established really quick. So Canada is not the 51st state. They're just America's hat.
True. They're very America's nice hat, very though. Polite. They're America's very polite.
Yes.
I think they are different. I mean, they are next to the US, but they are a very different country from what I heard and what I see in the news and stuff. That's certainly.
There are some cultural similarities because of our shared history, but.
We speak English, yes. Kind of.
Yes. Yes, but they very much are their own nation with their own unique culture, and we both love hockey, but they love hockey to a way that we could never imagine. And my God, they've got the greatest coffee on earth. I would kill to have a Tim Hortons by me.
I would beg to differ, but they do have good coffee. They also have this thing called Timbits. I'm not sure what they are.
Yes, they're you get them at Tim Hortons. They're like little donut hole things.
Why would I want Tim's bits? That's just gross. Anyways.
Because they're made by a guy named Tim and he has very good bits.
So that concludes our discussion on Canada for the rest of bird life.
So
nobody of
The way I like to always ask for anyone that's traveled abroad, and since we all have traveled abroad, we would have experience with this, is I think you can judge a country or get a good taste of a country by how their border control treats you when you first land there.
That's going to be really difficult for me to recall because I haven't actually been out of country since before 9/11. And I was like 10 years old at that time. So, yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that, Corp. But I guess for me, I've got more experience with that. Let's see. Every country I've been to, I've dealt with their border control except New Zealand's, because New Zealand's I was just connecting. But, well, my first time leaving the country was going to Canada. So you would think, oh, Canada is America's hat, like we just discussed, and they're going to be great. Well, I land in Toronto, in that wonderful beast of an airport, and I'm going up to Customs and Border Control, and I'm nervous as hell, first time out. I've got all my papers in hand to prove where I'm going, because I was on my way to Nova Scotia at the time. And the guy in front of me gets arrested for drugs.
Nice. Good intro.
The border control agent was this very short Asian woman that was angry as hell. I present her my passport. She asked me where I'm going. I had the address and everything, showed it to her. And then she proceeded just to stare at me without saying a word for 2 minutes before letting me in.
Yes.
Okay. Compare that with the UK. I land in the UK because I'm going to Confuzzled. I go up to their border control, hand my passport. And not only is this woman like the sweetest, most kind human being I've ever met in my life, but she starts giving me advice, welcoming me to the country, thinking that the furries are so cool. And it's just the happiest happy as happy could be. Go to Australia. Land there, and I'm warned about Australian border control. They're supposed to be like assholes. You know, they iron for rules. You better dot every I, cross every T.
Australia. So,
right. So you go up, and I go to Australian border control, hand them my papers. They look at me.
Your papers, please.
They look at me, and they said, so you bring anything into the country, mate? And I said, and I just totally ruined that act, by the way. But anyways. And I said, yeah, some candy and stuff in my bag. Okay. They literally take the finger, look at the bag I was carrying. It was like a plastic grocery bag. Kind of peeked in there, shrugged, and said, you're good. I was like, you fucking shitting me? What? You gotta be fucking shitting me, right? And I've gone to Australia twice now, and it was the same thing both times. They, like, gave no shits about me, but the guy in front of me and the guy behind me got the third reaming. But
you
the best
look
part,
like a harmless American.
Until you go back home and deal with American border control.
Okay.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Every time I've gone back to the US, I feel like I'm getting aminly reamed.
Aminly reamed?
Aminly reamed. You go back. Let's see. What did you do abroad? Where did you go? How much time did you spend in each place? What did you buy? How much money did you spend in each place? They ask you the same question over and over and over again. Did you do anything of nefarious behavior? I said, no. What did you bring with you? I said, well, I brought this. The one that stands out to me the most is like when I came back from the UK, I had my bag full of snacks from Britain.
Right.
And they say, okay. I said, I brought back some chips and candy. Oh, how many bags of chips? What were the types of chips? How many bags of candy? What were the types of candy? To whom are you going to give this candy? Is it for personal consumption? And finally, I just stare at the guy and I said, look, dude, are we going somewhere with these questions here? Because I can just unzip my bag and you can count the shit yourself. And he just stares at me and then he kind of snickers and he said, welcome home. And I'm like, really, dude? Oh, God.
Oh, my.
Coping mechanisms.
I have, of course, bought experiences too, but they were never really bad. I mean, the first time as a kid when I was in Egypt, because we have some family in Egypt, and we visited them, and I was there already three times. And yeah, we like I said, we visited them the first time, and in front of you have to pay the visa. The visa fee? Yeah, I mean Egypt.
All right. I'm sorry. Just go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So, where was I?
Yeah.
You have to pay the border fee there. And in front of us, there was like a very posh woman with the man, and they had to pay like, I don't know, $60 or something. Then my mother was already like, oh shit, I did not know and stuff. And then we were there, they looked at our kids and stuff, and we paid exactly 10 euros or 15 euros.
Okay. Huh.
For all of us, you know, because I have the feeling like they take money, like you look your hair, you know, they look at you and they don't have as much money. Well, or they are a family, we take less from them. So that's I don't know if they even have
some sort of weird loose rubric they follow.
Probably.
This guy looks like he's coming from Saudi Arabia. His entry fee is $500,000.
It does vary where you come from, absolutely, because some places you have to get a visa that's far more expensive than others.
Yeah. And the thing is, on the way out, my little brother, he collected some corals, you know, that white stuff in the ocean that looks like plants, but also like stone,
right,
stones,
right.
You know. And he collected some from the beach. And it's actually illegal to take them outside, and we did not know. So the guy, the border control from Egypt, when we went out, was like, no, you can't take that with you. So, and my brother was like, starting to cry. He was like small, like he was 6 years old or something. And he really cried bitterly. And then this guy was like, oh, well, you know what? Take it with you. He was almost crying too.
I think universally we just don't know how to cope with crying children.
And he just let him do a criminal of him now.
At that point, you know, the coral's already out. And it's like, well, what are you going to do at that point? Just fuck it. The damage is done.
And then...
And that
actually
was your brother's first introduction to his life of crime.
I actually did not have that many border controls because I live in the EU and we mostly do not have border controls. Exception is the UK because they always do their own thing. They always did their own thing. And I was going in there and this police woman was like, looking at my ID card, looking at it, looking at me, looking at the card. And then she was asking me, where are you coming from? And I was like, I was thinking like, that's written on my ID card. And then I was like saying, yeah, Germany. Okay, go in. And I was like, okay.
That's just a really lazy way of... So when I was doing like... what is it? I was doing ID check for the nightclub I was working at. Occasionally you'd like ask them a question with something that was on their ID, like, you know, what color are your eyes? Or, you know, what is your street address? And a surprising amount of people get fake IDs and then don't know what's actually on that fake ID. They're just like, oh, it looks like me. That's perfect. Thank you. So you can catch quite a few people just using that very basic method.
Oh, maybe. But if you have a German ID, you should know it, I assume.
It's true, but at the same time, you also think, like, you know, maybe it's putting them on the spot a little bit too much. Like, wait, if I say Germany, yeah, that's what they're going to expect. I can't say Germany.
Norway.
Norway, yes.
I mean, she was probably confused by my last name because I have a Polish last name, despite not being Polish, so... And else, only thing that happened to me was like a border control when I moved into Sweden, because they were Sweden got a bit they increased their border controls after all the terror attacks they had and stuff, and they but they were the nicest people. They were coming in, so hey, good day. So, yeah, show me your IDs. Oh, yeah, nice, welcome in Sweden. And they were, like, super nice people, like a welcome committee instead of, like, an enforcement, you know what I mean? That,
nice.
That's like, okay, hey, welcome in Sweden, hey. I waited, wait a second, I waited for them to start to dance and singing the Swedish national hymn or something, you know?
See, that just goes to show you don't have to be an asshole to be effective security. You don't. It's just people get, you know, when you deal with 5 trillion people a day and you know, a significant amount of them actually do lie to you, even if it's white lies, it wears people's patience down to the point they just get very bitter and hate the world after a while, it seems.
Yeah. And another experience I had was I was only traveling through the Czech Republic. And we went, I was in a coach and it was passing through the Czech Republic and then it was ending in Germany again. And there was a control. We were like pulled aside with the bus and they checked all the people and the bus was, the coach was stuffed with people. You know, it was really tight in there. Really, oh my God, it was horrible. And then after that control, it was only like 4 people remained in the bus because all the people in there, the rest of the people, they were probably illegal immigrants and they had no papers at all.
Wow.
And that was the most chill coach right after that. I mean, I was super sorry for those people because they were super nice to me also in the bus and stuff. But on the other hand, I had a luxury ride after that, you know. And the other thing was my passport, my ID card wasn't valid anymore, and I did not notice. I totally overlooked that. And then the cop checked it, the border control checked it, and was like, your ID isn't valid anymore. And I was like, oh, fuck. And he was like, well, normally that would cost a fee. You would have to pay like up to 2,000 euros, but we have enough to do. We have enough to do here. Take it back and get a new one immediately. And he was like, thank you.
You're just small enough on the priorities docket at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to deal with 5 trillion people. Yeah, yeah. That worked but, yeah. Not to your advantage.
That was an experience. I mean, my whole journey was delayed for 2 hours because we really were like 2 hours there. But it was, in the end, I could sleep in the bus, you know, and just sleep over the last hour, the last few hours of traveling. It was pretty neat.
Not bad.
A good ending, practically, even if it was kind of sad to see children and families pulled out of the bus, you know, that kids. That wasn't pleasant to look at.
No, it's not.
So, what? I've got a question for all of you. And I'm going to start with you, Cord, and then we'll go to Fleeks and then me. When you're looking to go somewhere else, whether it's different country, different state, I don't care. Are you what drives your interest the most? Is it museums? Is it national parks, concerts? What drives your motivation the most to want to go somewhere else to check something?
For me, it's to meet people, given that opportunity. So, like, I would really love to go to Australia because I have a few people down there I would love to really meet. Germany as well. Hi, Fleeks.
Hi.
Storm, you've discussed you've been planning on coming out here, which is going to save me the grace of having to go to Chicago, thank God.
Thanks.
But otherwise, it's more of a vacation destination sort of thing. So that's kind of what I'm used to is when I was a kid, my mom worked for Continental Airlines and, you know, back before they became United and all that. And we would travel quite a bit because she was one of their vacation representatives. So the resorts would, you know, have her go tour and inspect and be able to, you know, rate their resorts and report back so that she could get more people to go to them. So we went to Mexico quite a bit, you know, the palace resorts and all that. Very nice, very luxurious, very non-traditional Mexico. So, I mean, if you're crossing over to Tijuana or whatever, it's going to be a very different experience than what I had as a kid. We did travel quite a bit as far as in the U.S. as well, Florida, California, Hawaii a couple times. A lot of it was to visit family. Sometimes it was just to, you know, go on vacation, go see somewhere because we'd never been there. So when I arrive at these places, I tend to like to figure out what's, like, cool within the local culture, as well as maybe a few, you know, tourist trap destination kind of places. If they're not too, like, yeah, I just like to go on vacation or visit people, basically.
Yeah. For me, it's, of course, like Cor said, people, because I mostly visit friends. I'm not the person that, like, would travel to, like, resorts or hotels. I like to stay at friends. The positive aspect is they can show me around and show me stuff that's worth seeing. But one of the most amazing things for me in other countries is the food. I'm such a foodie, and I love to try new stuff. And
so true.
But we cannot go down this path. We've had, what, 4 food episodes now? Move on.
Yeah,
Divert. Pull up.
And we also already talked about alcohol enough, but craft beer bars. I like to visit craft beer bars. That's like a main attraction for me. I'm really not a person for the typical sightseeing and stuff. I mean, I was in the UK, but I really did not enjoy go to the Big Ben, and the Buckingham Palace was the Tower. The Tower of London was pretty boring, except the Ravens and the Raven Master and stuff. That was really great. That was worth the entrance fee and stuff.
That's something I would love to go see, but hey, I'm sure you can imagine why.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was like £25 entry fee, so... But what in London? What was great in London to go there? All the museums are free except the private ones. So we were in the Natural History Museum, and Oh my god. I mean, the two things there that, like, gave me the most excitement were, like, the earthquake simulator, where you're standing in a kinda Japanese, a rebuilt Japanese tiny store. And corner store, like, and it's shaking, and you're in there, and there was falling stuff from the there's falling stuff from the shelves and stuff.
Oh, jeez.
And then cool. The other one that burned myself that was burned in my memory was you could actually stand in an oversized womb of a female human, and I thought about certain. I don't want to go to the. No, that wasn't in Japan. That was another section of this Natural History Museum. That was human anatomy.
Oh. It's like you left once and you're never going back.
And yeah.
He was reborn.
So, some furries would laugh that. So, and of course, another reason for me to go, for example, next year to the US, and I'm so fucking excited, is the AntroCon. The cons, furry cons in general, but next year it's the AntroCon, and oh my god, I hope I will see a lot of people there and say hi to a lot of people. So that's actually cons equals people. So
true. I learned my lesson at BLFC. I'm not going to be the one who runs around trying to meet everybody anymore. I'm going to go find a place. I'm going to plant myself for like a couple hours, mm-hmm. and people can come say hi to me. My legs hurt for like the rest of the week after that.
That's the best way to do it. It really is.
And actually, the last thing that drags me to other countries is especially their nature spots. Like, you can always win me for going to the beaches, because especially the not like cleaned up beaches, the very natural beaches that aren't like the bathing beaches. they are so great if you have the cliffs there and maybe some light towers. And you know what I mean, I assume. Lighthouse, yes. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Well, for me, the biggest draws for me are, first and foremost, people. I love traveling to meet other furs. Especially look forward to the day when the three of us can sit down and have a good chirp together and record this podcast live in person. That, but yeah, meeting people is one of the happiest things in my life. I love to socialize, shoot the shit, try new foods, see interesting sites that the local recommends. So absolutely, all that stuff appeals to me. The other big appeal for traveling for me is I love history and I love nature. And out of those two, I'd say nature a little more than history. Case in point, most recently, I just took a trip to Glacier National Park and Yellowstone National Park within the U.S. And Glacier, they have the most famous road in the entire country called the Going to the Sun Road, which is the most breathtakingly beautiful drive you'll ever make in your life, at least within the U.S. And it's been a dream of mine. I finally did it. And it looked fake. You get out of your car and you'd look at this nature around you and you'd see the birds flying and the animals walking and you felt like you were in another world because it would be pitch silent the minute you shut your car off. It was amazing. So hiking in nature is a big draw for me. Then going to museums and learning about history, whether it's in this country, whether it's in, you know, Australia, et cetera. I love going and learning about the place I'm at, how the government works, why people act the way they do there, and just immersing myself in that fashion. Because I feel like if you're living life properly, you're always learning, and we can always learn something from other cultures. Even within, you know, the U.S., people think, oh, the U.S. is all a bunch of just Americans, but each state sort of has its own mini culture in a way. So I took some time to go to the Montana state capital and learned about the history of the state there, and Arizona, the same thing. And each state I've gone to, I've tried to do that. And I've been blessed since I was a child. My family also loved road trips. So I've gone on road trips and seen pretty much every state except the states in the Northeast U.S. And I finally want to hit that one of these years going forward. But some people get afraid of the idea of a road trip that lasts 20, 30, 40 hours of driving.
Me.
For me, for me, that just gets me going. As long as you have the time to do it right, because I don't just stay in the car for 20,000 hours. I stop every hour or two. I look at things. I stop at interesting sites. You find some of the wackiest shit in the U.S. when you pull off the main road. Let me tell you, I found a corn palace. I found the world's biggest buffalo statue. I have found the center of the U.S. three times on the same road trip somehow, because three different towns claim to be the center. I have crossed the continental divide in the U.S. so many times that I've lost
count. You just
know
it's somewhere in Kansas. That's it.
Yeah, and well, I was nowhere near Kansas. I've eaten at a bar called Space Aliens, and it had the best barbecue I've ever had in my life, and it was in fucking North Dakota. I mean, that should tell you about a road trip right there, about how crazy some of the shit is you see.
And the right. Further west you go and the more open space you go, the more, not in a negative way, but weird things you see. Like people who... There was one location where I was on the way to and from BLFC itself. You can pull off the road and find this guy who built a house out of all of the garbage that had been left behind from the Civil War, but like parts of the Civil War, parts of wars that were the Western Wars of the 1800s and that kind of stuff. He built like a house out of car parts, glass windows, and it was all held together by cement, and it was one of the eeriest, creepiest places you'd ever see.
But it's kind of amazing. I'm with Storm there. I would love a road trip, even for hours, for days, just driving away blindly, with a goal to goal, but like just if you see an interesting town name or city name or whatever, you're going there and looking at it, and you have all the time in the world, and that you're just flexible, and you can always sleep in the back of your car or your RV or something. And I will actually want to do that someday in the US. That would be a dream.
So it would be a blast, Fleeks, and we'd have a lot of fun.
Another example of like really weird, further west you go, is the city of ZZYZX in California. you may have heard about this. It was originally started up as a health spa community from like a religious zealot kind of dude. But it was, yeah, he took it over as far as he took the land from the U.S. government, saying it was a mining expedition. And then he built his own city on top of it, with his own radio station, everything on top of that. And a whole bunch of people moved out there, and pretty soon the government came in and was like, hey, you're not actually mining, what are you doing? And they took it all back and donated the rest of the land to like a college or something.
Yeah, and the thing I love most about the wacky shit you see when you go off the beaten path, like you just said, Cor, with that crazy town, and like in Montana, once again, I went into a real coal mine. It wasn't coal. They mined for certain minerals, but it wasn't coal. And you actually, you put on the safety vest, you did a little demonstration, and you went into a real fucking mine. And you saw how everything worked, and you wouldn't see this shit in a normal city. You got to go off the beaten path. You got to do a little research. You got to follow some crazy road signs. And next thing you know, I'm at the Mining and Mineral Museum of America, and there you go.
But real mine. Be careful when taking off the beaten path, because then sometimes you end up in some really scary, unmapped communities made of trailer parks and people with shotguns. So be careful.
Wrong turn. Yeah. Oh, the hills have eyes.
Yeah.
My God. Oh, Area 51. That sounds awesome. Let's go there.
No, then you're let's being not. Shot by the,
then you're being shot by the military. Oh.
If you want to go to the town with the tourist trap, sure. But if you want to go to the base, you might not live to tell about it if you get close enough.
Oh, God. I thought about that would, if you would get shot at Area 51, that would like make you... what review you would give to Google afterwards for the place.
So, no, they just feed you to the grays.
Yeah, probably. But it reminded me, did you try Google Maps and try to find reviews for the craziest place, like the Atlantic Ocean? Like, there are reviews like, it's kind of cool, but very wet and stuff. And people write reviews about the center of the Atlantic Ocean.
So, like, how the entire continent of Africa has 3.5 stars out of 5?
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole continent.
Yeah, or the Grand Canyon. Someone actually made a Google review. I think it got taken down finally. That said, it's just a piece of earth that needs a little repair.
Well, but people really review the Northern Sea or
it's
the Eastern
really nothing
sea,
compared to the Mariana Trench on Mars. That was far better.
Hey, Yellowstone has their own canyon too. A lot of people don't know that. Pretty cool too.
Yeah, most of the people just go there for the Old Faithful.
Actually, I like nature spots, but I wouldn't be really interested in the Grand Canyon. I mean, that's practically a crack.
The thing about the Grand Canyon, Fleeks, that I think makes it something special, having gone there twice now myself, is it's fucking huge. It doesn't look real. You can stand on the edge of this thing and look at the distance, and it looks like you're looking at a painting because it doesn't look real. It's that unbelievably massive.
Whoa. Okay, maybe I should be there and I would change my opinion. But if I go to things, I would like to see it's like the Niagara Falls or something. That I like waterfalls. Niagara Falls? Yeah,
Niagara
it's called...
Falls, Niagara Falls is actually right next to Horseshoe Falls, which is the more famous of the two. So when you see pictures of Niagara Falls, you might actually be looking at Horseshoe Falls. People get them confused all the time. It's the same park, though. You could see both.
But they don't let you go down them in a barrel anymore.
No,
I think that's illegal now. And it does look better to see it from the Canadian side than the U.S. side. But you can go on a boat. It's fun. So, Cor.
Yes.
All the trips you've made, same for you, Fleeks. What is either the most interesting or the craziest thing you've ever experienced in your life on a trip?
I don't know if I could really say much crazy stuff.
Okay, so go interesting.
That's always a heavy question.
Museums were also kind of a big thing for me. I mean, So I don't plan on living in Utah for too much longer. I plan on getting my degree and then getting the hell out of here. That's the intention. It's been the intention for a long time. But over the past year, I've made kind of a big effort in visiting all of the museums and stuff we have going on here. So local tourist kind of stuff. We have a natural history museum, went and saw that. We have like 4 different dinosaur museums, went and saw those. The zoo, the aviary. I really love our local aviary. It's, if you ever come visit Utah, it's probably one of the places I'll take you.
I love your license plates, by the way.
The snow ones or the rock ones?
One of my favorite parks is Arches National Park, and it's in Utah. So I love that, and I love your slogan, life elevated with the arches on your plate. It looks really cool.
It's true. They are really cool plates. I really don't have any crazy, wacky stories from when I was traveling. Sometimes it'll just be... So we went to one of my favorite places I've ever visited is Dayton, Ohio, which is really kind of weird because it's kind of like there's this boring little city, not a whole lot to do there. My sister was in the Air Force at the time, and she was also running marathons. They have a big Air Force and civilian marathon that takes place there. So we went and supported her. We went to their aviation museum next to the airbase, and that still stands out as one of the coolest places I've ever been. And then Monterey Bay, California, they have the aquarium there. Probably one of the nicest aquariums in the world, I would imagine.
Okay, fair enough.
So Utah for birds, Monterey for fish, and Dayton, Ohio for planes. There you go. Have fun.
I actually can second the Dayton, Ohio one because that museum they have there is for the Air Force is wonderful. It's absolutely huge too. What about you, Fleeks?
I think I don't have a. I think I had a very weird experience in London when I was standing with Tiersel. I was standing outside of a pub, and then some kind of homeless guy came to us, and we thought like, oh my god, he will ask us for money for sure. But he didn't. He actually told us his life story about corruption in the politics and how he's involved, and he gifted me an ashtray he built himself out of a Monster Energy can.
Oh,
yeah. that's the first thing that comes to my mind if you ask me about crazy stuff that I experienced.
Most for interesting sights, my list can go on. But for crazy, the number one that comes to my mind was when I went to New York City with my family this past winter, and we were going to go on the subway. So we got off one train, we're going to a lower platform to get on another. And as I'm going down the steps, see to the next platform, a guy literally drops his pants and takes a shit right on the platform. And what was most impressive about it wasn't the fact he was shit, was the fact that New Yorkers were so unfazed by this. They just walked around him and boarded the train casually like nothing was going on of interest.
Well.
Yeah.
That was the daily poop story from Storm.
Yep. Pretty that much. Happened.
And that's 100% true, by the way.
Yeah, wow. Hobos are always a fun, interesting story. I've got a few of those. We can have it another time.
Yeah. Cool. Let's make a show about homeless people. Yeah, and everybody will hate us. No. That's not a good idea. Bad ideas from Fleeks. Daily bad ideas from Fleeks.
Oh, God.
All right, listener questions. All right.
Listener questions. Okay. First question comes from Eclipse. The question is, how long does it take you to get ready to travel? Do you pack the day before or in a rush an hour before you're supposed to?
For me, typically the evening before, and it will be very light. I'll take just the minimal amount of clothes I need, some peripherals like, you know, my phone or maybe something to entertain me on the flight. But usually if I can get away with a backpack and a small suitcase, I'm happy.
Well, I'm one of those. Depends if my flight goes early or late or whatever I'm traveling with. But I'm very pretty much a last minute packer.
I've done
Did
it.
You get it?
I've done yes. I've done it all kinds of ways because I travel just about every 3 weeks, and my favorite way to do it is to make sure all my laundry and stuff is done ahead of time, so I've got everything I need. And if my flight's first thing in the morning, the night before, otherwise, if my flight's midday or later, when I wake up, I pack very slowly, do all the list, make sure I got everything, and just off I go after that. If I pack a day before, 2 days before, I tend to pack too much shit, and it's not good for anyone. So, next question comes from Rar, and the question is, and I'm sure I bastardized that name, I'm so sorry.
From Rar?
Moriar.
Moriar, okay.
Mrar. Yes.
Mrar.
The question is? Mrar! Okay, the question. Do y'all prefer a manual transmission or an automatic transmission?
Automatic.
What?
I'm kind of lazy.
What does it mean? Explain it to the silly German.
When you drive the car, do you prefer it to where the car shifts gears for you or to do the shifting yourself?
Whatever my driver prefers. I have no car, I have no driving license, so.
Wow. Fair okay, enough. Chauffeured everywhere. I see how it is.
I greatly prefer automatic because when you go abroad and you go to a country that has you drive on the wrong side of the road, the shifter for your gears will be on the wrong side of the car as well. So if you have an automatic, you don't have to worry about it.
This is very true. It's quite a swap up from what you're used to.
Yes.
Or, you know, right. You go into that new country and you go to shift your automatic gear, which is a column, which is like on the steering column, and you accidentally turn on the wipers and windshield wiper fluid.
Yep, had that in Australia. It was quite the acid trip, let me tell you. All right. So, next question comes from Soul Ember. Question is a challenge. The challenge is, if you had to create a road trip playlist, tell us three songs that would be on.
The Hustle. Uh, 500 Miles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I mainly listening to if I get, I mean, I mostly have no choice what is played because I'm already I'm almost always a co-driver. But if I would make a road trip playlist, it would probably contain a lot of like video game music from video games I like Terranigma, Okami, what else? Metal Gear, maybe. Shadow of the Colossus, and so on, because I love it, and it's very chill, and yeah, I love to hum it.
Rezo would love you so much. For me, I am a satellite radio junkie, so most of the time I'm just blasting BPM via Sirius XM and just tuning in that way. But if I'm picking music, I am some go-to songs that would be on my playlist would definitely be Professional Griefers, Deadmon. It's a blast. I love blasting that stuff.
From Deadmau5?
Yeah, it's a... it's not Deadmau5. It's
Professional Griefers is Deadmau5. Oh yeah, featuring Gerard Way. Is.
Yes, you are correct. Yes, that is one of my brain fart. And then I'd totally play Safe and Sound, and my new one I like is probably Mono Mind. Save Me a Place. A lot of fun, good music. I love just having basically a dance party the whole way down the road.
Oh, I thought of a third one. Aiko. My grandma and your grandma sitting by the fire. My grandma said to your grandma, I'm going to set your flag on fire. Talk about hey now. Anyways.
If I road trip to a metal festival, of course my playlist is full with Psycho Stick.
All right. Final question from Anor. Question is, what has your longest trip been, and what is your shortest trip?
I think my shortest trip is the trip to the supermarket, and my longest trip was like 22 hours of coach ride to Stockholm.
Longest trip was a tour up through Idaho, through Washington, Seattle, down to California, and then back across Nevada to Utah. Road trips, I don't like them. My shortest trip was when I tripped and fell and hit my nose.
Jesus. My longest trip was a combination of when I went to Australia for nearly a month. It took almost 24 hours to fly there and 24 hours to fly back. My God, my ass. It took a week to recover. And road trip wise was 3.5 weeks when my family drove to California up to Washington State and headed all the way back to Chicago, hitting national parks along.
Nice.
Yep. So that wraps it up for questions this week.
Moral of the story is I need to start traveling again really bad.
Yeah,
you gotta escape Mormon. You gotta escape Mormon land a little bit. There's a whole other country experience.
My first vacation was BLFC, and that was the first one I've had since I was like before 18 years old. So yeah. All right. Do we have anything? Do you have any last questions, Fleeks?
No, I don't have one this time.
Would you rather fly for 24 hours or drive for 24 hours?
Drive.
Oh, drive. I've done both. Fucking drive. No exception.
I think I would go with drive as well, but there is the benefit of that if you're flying somewhere 24 hours, you're going somewhere a lot further than you would if you were driving for 24 hours.
Okay, would you rather be able to teleport to any place in the world just with a thought, or would you rather be able to fly on your own without a plane?
Teleport. I've wanted that technology since I was a little kid.
Yeah, teleporting would be very comfortable.
Okay, these were easy questions this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Feel free to catch us on iTunes, RSS feed, Google Play Music. You can also follow us on Twitter, on Telegram, t.me/birdlife. And yeah, feel free to email us at beep@bird.life. And remember, always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
Stay beeping, my friend.
There was another contest, probably a bigger, more important contest than Tweets's, or Fleeks's, I'm sorry, than Fleeks's.
It happens all the time. I'm not tweets. How does it happen to all the people? All the time.